American history is important to pass on to the next generation, and that history is filled with the good, the bad, sometimes the ugly. But sometimes, in fact, way too often, the left distorts our history and focuses only on the bad. Years ago, when the border was somewhat open, I was shocked at what I personally saw at the Smithsonian Museum on American History in Washington, D.C., and I wrote a column at the time saying that somebody should go to those poor would-be immigrants at the southern border and yell, "Stop! Don't come! America's racist! America's always been racist! Turn back before it's too late." Bishop E.W. Jackson, author and speaker, is the founder and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. The mission of STAND is to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines to preserve our Judeo-Christian heritage and values. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome to the program Bishop E.W. Jackson to talk about the Smithsonian Museum related to American history, which, by the way, has just gotten worse since I visited it many, many years ago and wrote that column I mentioned. Bishop, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Jerry, thank you for inviting me. Glad to be on with you.
Sure. So tell us your take on Smithsonian, especially, you know, the way it is lately.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerry, it's important for every American to understand we are not looking at a sudden episodic event. We're looking at a long process of indoctrination that produces people in the leadership of these institutions who have a very negative view of America, and they bring that with them wherever they go. And so the curator of the Smithsonian has brought that attitude. It's an attitude of frankly despising America as an unjust white supremacist nation built on slavery. We stole the land, and on it goes. And as you said, look, we're not a perfect nation. We made our share of mistakes. But I tell people all the time, if you compare America to heaven, yeah, we don't look very good. But if you compare America to the rest of the world, we stand head and shoulders above every other nation in affirming human dignity, human flourishing, and creating the highest standard of living for any people anywhere on earth. And that's not the story they want to tell. They want to tell the story of a bad, evil America that needs to be fundamentally transformed.
Wow. I know that the Trump White House was trying to get them to have a little bit more balance, and the best apparently they were able to do, because gets back to who controls the Smithsonian. The best the Trump administration could do is try and put some signs outside the museum just warning the people, you know, the would-be visitors, look, the history here is not all accurate.
Well, in fact, I wonder if any of it is accurate. You may not know this, but several years ago, I had a big dispute with the Smithsonian, the Portrait Gallery, because they put Margaret Sanger in the civil rights display in the museum. And I complained personally and then organized people to go up and protest that she was not a civil rights leader. She was a eugenicist who ultimately supported the killing of unborn babies. How in the world does that land her in the civil rights area of the museum? And of course, they had the same attitude. Well, you know, we're not changing anything. Ultimately, I think the pressure forced them to change because this woman was associated with the Ku Klux Klan. She supported Adolf Hitler, or at least certainly sympathized with his effort to cleanse Germany and the world. So they've been at this for a long, long time. And I think what Americans have got to do is demand that these institutions are going to do this are not going to, at least can't do it with our taxpayer dollars, A, and B, if they're going to do it, they've got to give the American people an opportunity to provide a different perspective somehow so that we can see America through our eyes rather than through the eyes of these people who frankly just seem to hate the country.
You know, that example you just gave about Margaret Sanger is amazing, because I remember, because we've done segments about this and written articles about Margaret Sanger and so forth, but I remember seeing this letter that she herself had typed to one of her board members of the Planned Parenthood in its earlier iterations name, you know, like the Birth Control League or something like that. And she said, we don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. It's something like almost, that's almost verbatim from a 1939 letter she typed. And therefore, we're going to hire ministers who will, you know, essentially obfuscate the language and make them, you know, fool people into what our real agenda is. I mean, that's amazing. You're right. That's a great point. Yeah. Anything you want to add to that? Because I've got other questions too related.
Well. Of course, we know this is ultimately not about justice for anybody. This is about a leftist agenda and the power to implement it. And they don't really care about people or care about justice. They care about power. And that's unfortunately, the Smithsonian's under the control of people who are part of what I call that demonic power cult that is represented by the Democrat Party, the Democrat Socialists of America, and a whole league of others.
Okay. Another question. One of the complaints of the current administration about the Smithsonian Museum and of history, of U.S. history, is it's in effect its sins of omission as opposed to sins of commission. And that is to say, you know, there's not really anything there about George Washington, about, you know, and the positive things, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, etc. It's almost like these people were only evaluated according to any interaction they had with slavery.
Which is utterly ridiculous. You know, John Gabbett, Bagot Glove, the guy who wrote the book on the rise of empires and the search for security, about how nations last about 250 years. He's not the only historian who posited this. One of the things that he said in that famous essay was, but you can't evaluate a nation's history without understanding the context. And I tell people all the time, there is not a single group of people on earth, if they could trace their ancestry back far enough, would not find ancestors enslaved, because conquest and slavery was the order of the day. America didn't somehow say, you know, we've got this idea, why don't we start enslaving people? I mean, the Portuguese had it introduced to them by the North Africans, who were already enslaving South Africans and Sub-Saharan Africans by the millions. The Barbary pirates were capturing European ships and enslaving Europeans. By the hundreds of thousands. I think before that ended, they had enslaved about 1 million Europeans. This was a worldwide phenomenon. America was born into the era where this was acceptable, but we became part of the community, a very small, select group of nations, mainly England and other European nations went along, who finally said, you know what? This is immoral. This is wrong. We will no longer participate in this. We had a civil war to resolve that moral question, but ultimately we affirmed every human being's dignity. But again, that's not the story they want to tell about overcoming this worldwide phenomenon of slavery. They want to act like, Tim Kaine here in Virginia said, America didn't inherit slavery. America invented it. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard a politician say.
Yeah, oh, that's so true. I once interviewed the late Dr. Walter Williams of George Mason University, which is in Virginia, and, you know, it's relatively close to the Smithsonian Museum, relatively. And he said, you know, slavery's been mankind's fare from the beginning. The important thing to know about slavery, though, is that in the Western world, we have spent considerable resources to completely uproot it.
And frankly, there are many parts of the world, particularly the Middle East, countries controlled by Muslims, where slavery is still acceptable. And again, we get no credit. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, even though at that point, because of the conflict between Georgia, South Carolina, and the other states, even though slavery was not included as part of declaring our independence, of course, that was Thomas Jefferson's original intent, that it would include a condemnation of slavery, and it ultimately did not. But those words still applied, and those words continued to speak to the consciences of the American people until finally slavery, Jim Crow, all the vestiges of racial thinking were basically removed, certainly from our official government, And I really believe is now largely removed from our culture, but the left just won't let it die.
Why is that? Why won't they let it die? I mean, there are great improvements that have been made. You're a black man. You've grown up in America. I'm sure the America you experienced, you know, 50, 60 years ago or whatever, you know, was far more racist than, have there not been some improvements?
Oh, my goodness. Look, you know, I love this country with all my heart because, yeah, of course, there's been racism in our country. And by the way, racism is not a white problem. It is a human problem because people always find reasons to distinguish themselves from others. I mean, people don't realize when the Italians first began to come to America, the Pope couldn't get them to go to Mass because they didn't want to listen to an Irish priest. And all the priests in all the Catholic churches were Irish. And the Italians said, we're not going to a Mass and listen to an Irish priest. We don't want to hear, you know, we want Italian priests. I mean, this is what human beings do. It has nothing to do with skin color. Slavery never had anything to do with skin color until really the African slave trade began. So it's all about, it's not the skin, Jerry, it's ultimately the sin. But what is happening now is people know it is an emotional trigger. You can use it to manipulate people. You can use it to move people politically where you want them to go. You can use it to have people put you in power and keep you in power. And so they don't want to let it die, not because it's not dead, but because they've got to keep resurrecting it in order to have a justification for saying to black people particularly, if you don't vote for us, the racists are going to get you. I'll tell you something. With people like that who are supposed to be on the side of black folks, you don't really need any enemies because they've done more to hold black people back and keep them ensconced in poverty and hopelessness than any overt racist one could ever think of.
No, okay. Boy, what an incredible statement. Now, meanwhile, as far as the Smithsonian is concerned, they are the guardians of the artifacts. I mean, they have control of the, you know, these vestments were worn by George Washington himself, and this was something, you know, these are glasses that Ben Franklin designed, etc. So can't they be a little bit more neutral toward our history and just, you know, just show some of these things on display and say, hey, you know, George Washington was very important. He was the first president under the U.S. Constitution.
And not just neutral, but truthful. I mean, and the truth of the matter is George Washington was an heroic figure. I mean, he really set, well, I love George Washington because George Washington set the precedent in this country for our leaders not being people who are hungry for power, but people who are hungry to serve and to secure the liberty of their fellow Americans. That's what George Washington did for us, because even King George, I'm sure you know, King George marveled that George Washington walked away from power. Who does this, he thought. I mean, what kind of man is this? Well, he was an American. He was a man who believed strongly in liberty, not simply for himself, but for others. And by the way, they don't talk about the fact that George Washington freed all of his slaves when he passed away and also used some of his own resources to see to it that they could be sustained because he knew they might have a hard time earning a living under the conditions that they were set free. But George Washington saw to it because by the end of his life, he realized slavery was morally wrong. He abhorred it, but obviously it has been something he had been with all his life. It was part of the American landscape. And he always felt like, what can I do to change it? And well, we know how difficult that was because, again, we ultimately fought a civil war.
All right. StandAmerica.us. We have 20 seconds left, Bishop Jackson. How about a comment in terms of can the Smithsonian revise and just be a little bit more fair toward the truth?
We need to pressure them to do so. They're not going to do it on their own because they've got an agenda. But we need to stand up for what is true. And I believe the truth will set people free and the truth will ultimately win out.
All right. Bishop E.W. Jackson, StandAmerica.us. Thank you, Bishop. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.